Science Communication Research, an Empirical Field Analysis. A study conducted by the Institute for Science and Innovation Communication and COMEX Institute in Borkum. Commissioned by the German Federal Ministry of Education and Research. Project Lead, Professor Alexander Gerber. This is an audiobook version of the freely accessible study online at sciencegum.science, abridged without footnotes and most of the original tables and infographics. Chapter 1, Executive Summary. This study provides both an empirical analysis of strengths and weaknesses of research in the field of science communication, and a reflection on its future needs and perspectives. This study of science communication research, SCR, triangulates a bibliometric and content analysis of approximately 3,000 journal papers with a multi-stage panel study and a review of grey literature spanning four decades. Quantitative findings from the journal analysis, for example about disciplinary contexts or topics, research methods, data analysis techniques used, were considered by a panel of 36 science communication researchers in a multi-stage series of qualitative interviews. These experts represent the international and disciplinary diversity of the research field, including past and present editors of the most relevant journals of science communication, and the majority of the most often cited science communication scholars. Previous approaches to systematically investigate the research field include the editorial process of collecting 79 major works on the public communication of science, Bookie, Trench 2016A, and the U.S. National Academy of Sciences report on communicating science effectively, 2016. Science communication research maturing as an academic field. The number of science communication papers in academic journals has increased significantly over the past four decades, especially research studies, and particularly in the last 15 years. The number of countries and institutions contributing papers is also increasing, and more papers are based on international and national collaborations. Many experts see both increases in the combination of a sign for SCR to have matured to a stage where it is now its own academic field. Science communication is as pluralistic in its research as it is in practice. The mix of institutions, techniques and disciplines contributes to its diverse status, and often perceived absence of a clear theoretical framing, as confirmed by many of the expert statements in this study. Anglo-American leadership. Like other academic fields, science communication research is mostly published in English-language journals. This gives authors from North America, Europe, and the United Kingdom a natural advantage for the academic publication of science communication papers. There are relatively few publications from countries outside North America and Europe, with comparatively low numbers, particularly for low-income countries. While this imbalance reflects language and population levels, another explanation is the number of established science communication research institutions in the USA and UK. 9 of the first 10 most active research institutions are US universities. Even though the distribution can be considered a long-tail pattern, i.e. a few very active institutions and many equally average ones, there are disproportionately fewer SCR hubs worldwide. It is therefore all the more important to mention Germany as a notable exception. Such permanent structures are emerging while this report is being produced, notably at Hochschule Rheinwahl, HSRW, NRW, and Karlsruhe Institute für Technologie, KIT, Baden-Württemberg. Here, permanent university chairs with specific degree programs have filled a void which had been discussed in the practitioners' community and academia in general for decades. Prior to the establishment of these academic structures, a long list of universities had supervised, produced dozens of PhD and final theses with close reference to SCR. Comparatively few of these have reached international visibility, as the bibliographic analysis in this study shows. One major cause for this may be the language barrier, and the dispersed nature of disciplines and scholarly publishing in this field. In general, centers for SCR with long-term structures and thus a critical mass of personnel, are still rare, even from a global perspective. Worldwide, There is otherwise only a handful of such hubs: the Centre for the Public Awareness of Science, CPAS, at the Australian National University, ANU, the Centre for Science Communication at Otago University in Dunedin, New Zealand, the Centre for Life Sciences Communication at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, USA, and the Chinese Research Institute for Science Popularization, CRISP. Several UK universities have established science communication departments, such as Imperial College and University College in London, the University of West England, UWE, the London School of Economics, and further universities in Manchester, Sheffield, Edinburgh, or Aberdeen, yet mostly without institutional structures, research chairs, etc. A comparatively large Institute for Public Communication of Science and Technology was established in Brazil. Further smaller hubs to be mentioned: Stellenbosch, Barcelona, Trieste, Dublin, St. Petersburg, Guadalajara, Mexico City, etc. In addition to its existing SCR hubs at several universities, the USA has furthermore developed additional trans-institutional research funding initiatives, mostly driven by the National Academy for Sciences, Engineering and Mathematics, NASAM, the National Science Foundation, NSF, and the American Association for the Advancement of Science, AAS, which can be expected to strengthen the already strong US-American position in this field further. Partly comparable are the initiatives by German academies of science to produce white papers on science communication and hence also its research. These initiatives, however, are mainly analytical and do not include significant funding schemes. Typical for both the USA and the UK are SCR initiatives provided by private foundations such as the Wellcome Trust in the UK or, in the US, the Sackler Foundation, Burroughs Wellcome Fund, Rita Allen Foundation, William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, etc. Considering that such philanthropical research funding traditions are comparatively uncommon outside of the Anglo-American world, similar SCR resources in Europe can only be expected to come from governmental funding bodies. Private foundations which have previously provided dedicated funding schemes for SCR include Stiftungsverband für die Deutsche Wissenschaft, Volkswagen Stiftung, Robert Bosch Stiftung, Klaus Schirrer Stiftung, and Korber Stiftung, all of which, however, have provided significantly smaller funds than many of their international counterparts. Moreover, foundation-funded programs in Germany had a rather practical instead of a research focus, for example STEM uptake or science journalism. The first funding program explicitly addressing the science of science communication and the transferability of research into practice was Science Communication Cubed, a call launched by the Volkswagen Foundation in February 2020. Grand challenges. The results from this study indicate that SCR is facing several grand challenges. The four most pressing ones are the following. 1. A research field mostly limited to one-off studies, compared to the large number of very case-specific studies about the use of certain tools in certain cultural contexts for certain research areas, experts interviewed in this study and also previous analyses unanimously see a need for more longitudinal, comparative and systemic research. 2. Caught in established, disciplinary structures and habits, as shown in this study, SCR is multidisciplinarily fragmented by the variety of theories used. Scientific communities such as in media studies or marketing, sociology of science or social psychology, often use different jargon, and present their results at different conferences, and in different journals. The opportunity of an interdisciplinary integration of the different research traditions has not been seized yet. 3. Lack of transfer between scholarship and practice. In addition to these inner academic challenges, SCR is limited by a second disconnect between scholarship and practice. Neither takes sufficient notice of the other's priorities, challenges, and solutions. After debating this at three Science of Science Communication conferences in Washington over the years, the USA pioneered a tandem initiative called Research Partnerships in winter 2017. Challenges and solutions to align SCR better with practice, finally led to the world's first symposium on evidence-based science communication. All of the above-mentioned initiatives have identified a direct result of the double disconnect, a lack of application and implementation, experimentation and applied research. 4. Lack of diversity in research topics. SCR insufficiently acknowledges certain publics and actors, for example the science communication practitioners themselves, people generally uninterested in science, partisan and influential pressure groups and deniers, etc. Research gaps. Experts interviewed and research literature analyzed in this study show how SCR does not sufficiently address the challenges above. The following four main clusters of research gaps have been identified. 1. Changing information behavior and attitude formation. Systemic changes in the digitalized media environments are not yet sufficiently understood, including the recent debates about post-truth and data-driven mass manipulation. In general, science communication often appears more relevant when topics are more controversial. Yet this is not sufficiently addressed by SCR in general. This study has identified research gaps in understanding the formation of societal values and public trust with regard to science and innovation. Research topics could, for instance, be communicating either consensus or uncertainty, responding to misinformation and framing effects. 2. Rapidly changing media systems. Digitization bring about not only new means and tactics but even entirely new actors in communication, such as journalistic media platforms, which are not journalistically independent in a classic sense. Formally established intermediaries are replaced. SCR should analyze these systemic changes as well as suggesting and experimenting with alternative models and practices. 3. Evaluation of policy impacts. How to measure and compare the impact of communication on science and innovation policy and regulation is another research gap. This should include not merely institutional or journalistic impact but also political influence from organized interests, such as pressure groups and lobbyism. Particularly for statutory regulation processes, for example regarding the question to which extent CRISPR technology will legally be treated as mere genetic modification, there is a lack of both methods and impact measurement for formal science engagement, such as citizen participation processes, from an agenda-setting perspective. 4. Communication governance. Considering that science policy increasingly requests specific forms of communication as part of their funding and or assessment of research proposals and results, scientific institutions increasingly discuss science communication issues from a governance perspective, both regarding its institutional structures and institutional cultures. This raises the question of how such a communication, which becomes an integral part of academic conduct itself, should be managed and monitored, for example regarding incentives and recognition, and how its impact can best be assessed. Research recommendations. This study leads to 8 research recommendations. In order to structure the research topics to be addressed, the study lists potential topics for future funding schemes directly related to the research gaps and grand challenges identified in the data. 1. Greater encouragement should be given to research topics beyond public understanding, attitudes or media studies, such as responding to the replacement of intermediaries. More research is needed about the nexus between science and the changing political and social landscapes. Neglected SCR topics are summarized above under research gaps above, and described in more detail in the chapter on research recommendations below. 2. More longitudinal studies that examine changes over time, and more experimental field research, would strengthen science communication and help establish it as an academic field. Only a minority of longitudinal studies so far focuses on audiences and actors. 3. Science communication research needs to examine specific groups more closely, breaking down the amorphous general public into more meaningful stakeholders, such margin and negationalized or science skeptic audiences, indigenous groups or senior citizens. Also, science communication practitioners themselves are hardly being researched at all. 4. Biology and ecology have dominated disciplinary focuses in SCR for decades, a trend which has recently even increased. This study therefore recommends encouraging research that looks at the entire spectrum of, not just natural, science and, not just technical, innovation. This would include contributions from the humanities, arts and social sciences. 5. Theoretical foundations in SCR need to be developed further, which will require much closer global and cross-cultural research collaboration. Various disciplinary strengths could be combined into more sophisticated mixed methods approaches. National research could learn from investigating the diversity of communicating science and innovation. Theory and practice could be integrated, for example, in future study design, while also increasing the replication of international SCR approaches. 6. Mixing research methods and using new tools needs to be encouraged in SCR. Data mining, for instance, offers a tool set which is hardly used in SCR, for example for analyzing large datasets in areas such as social media. 7. While SCR mostly investigates single case studies, experts request a wider systems approach to understand how contents and channels, actors and audiences interrelate. 8. Science communication research is lacking collaboration across cultures and continents or even just beyond national borders. 9. A significant number of researchers furthermore seems to lack methodological skills, particularly in statistics. Knowledge transfer and capacity building in this respect could be a good starting point for international collaborations. Introduction. The aim of this study is to identify and compare international trends and gaps in science communication research. This study has triangulated a bibliometric and content analysis of 3,000 science communicati and journal papers with a multi-stage panel study and a review of grey literature. Science communication research is, just like science communication practice, a diverse field when it comes to the researchers' disciplinary backgrounds and their fields of expertise, their target groups, methodologies and publication outlets. Being aware that it is difficult to capture all of the developments in the research field over the last decades, this study aims to draw conclusions by approaching the issue from a number of distinct perspectives. Applying methodological triangulation, it examines different data sources, namely published academic papers, grey literature and expert statements, to shed light on the general trends and gaps, needs and opportunities in the research field. The study design combines a multi-step expert survey with a bibliographic and content analysis. The expert survey consists of three parts, of which two are interlinked with the bibliographic analysis. The bibliographic analysis consists of two parts, the journal analysis, and the analysis of grey literature. The study analyzes all the articles ever published in Public Understanding of Science, PUS, Science Communication, SCX, and Journal of Science Communication, JCOM. Many science communication papers are being published in other disciplinary journals, for example in the areas of nanotechnology or health, and some authors prefer to publish their research in books. For the journal analysis, the study analyzes a sample that is as representative as possible for the field. The scope of the literature analysis was limited to peer-reviewed publications, which excludes books. The decision to focus on the three science communication journals is based on the results of the first stage of the expert survey. For a detailed description of survey methodologies used, see pages 11 to 13. The relevance of highly visible journals and magazines such as Nature, Science and Scientific American was the reason to include these also in the analysis. Thereby, the analysis also provides insights about topics covered in outlets which target a broader scientific community or even popular science audience rather than just the science communication community specifically. Additionally, this study analyzes the public communication of science, major works in public communication of science, Bucke, Trench 2016A, hereafter referred to as the major works, which also provides insights into other publication types relevant to science communication research beyond the above-mentioned publications. Methodology. Expert Survey. An international sample of experts in the field of science communication was selected in cooperation with the German Federal Ministry of Education and Research, BMBF, and its project management agency DLAPT. In addition to experts identified from the global science communication research community, the sample included representatives from academies of sciences, funding bodies, associations and learned societies, as well as editors of science communication journals. The experts were invited to take part in all three phases of the expert survey. A brief outline informed them of the context, aims and process of the study. Online survey. The online survey had the objective of identifying the most important publication outlets for science communication research. Experts were provided with individual tokens to access the survey. After two reminders, 36 experts submitted their answers, resulting in a response rate of 59%. A list of 23 journals was provided, with the option to add journals that the experts deemed to be important, but had not been included in the provided list of journals. The journals provided were selected by researching the journals with the highest impact factors when searching for the term science communication in a scientific journal database. In addition, we used the most often quoted standard publication in science communication, the Public Communication of Science Handbook, 2nd edition, Bookie, Trench 2016b, as a resource and added all journals to our list that had at least two articles included in this publication. The results show that the three science communication journals Public Understanding of Science, PUS, 94%, Science Communication, SCX, 83%, and Journal of Science Communication, CHOM, 78%, were the journals that most experts rated as being most significant for science communication research. The other journals seemed to be important only for some experts, which most likely was due to their respective research focus. Hence the three journals chosen for the bibliometric and content analysis were PUS, SCX and CHOM. Two experts each named the following journals in addition to the provided list. Research for All, launched 2017. New Media and Society. Journal of Research in Science Teaching, JRST. Environmental Communication. One expert each named the following journals in addition to the provided list. Social Epistemology. International Journal of Science Communication, Part B. Gateways. Science. Proceeding of the Academy of Sciences. Nature. Science Policy. Climate Research. Public Relations Review. Journalism and Mass Communication Quarterly. Journal of Research on Science Education. Journal of Health Communication. Science, Technology, and Society. Journal Analysis, PUS, SCX, CHOM. It was decided to analyze the whole population of articles published in Public Understanding of Science, PUS, Science Communication, SCX, and Journal of Science Communication, JCOM. All articles ever published in the three journals up until the end of 2016, in the case of SCX, since 1979, have therefore been included in the analysis. We decided not to rely on author-selected keywords for our content analysis, following Emma Whitecamp's, 2016, argumentation and analysis. As editor of CHOM, she had come to a similar conclusion when she realized that authors had not used article keywords consistently enough to allow a meaningful categorization. This research field analysis has therefore instead conducted a much deeper analysis by defining specific aspects of interest to be analyzed by a team of trained coders. The variables included the following more basic data. Journal. Title. Original publication date. Date. Issue. Name of the corresponding author and up to four co-authors. Affiliation of the corresponding author and up to four co-authors, for example institutions. country of the corresponding author and up to four co-authors, based on affiliation. Abstract. Gender for the corresponding author and up to four co-authors. Other variables focus more on characterizing the article and its content. Type. Context cluster. Context discipline. Topic cluster. Topic detail. Participants. Target group. Research focus. Research timing. Research method. Data analysis method. As this study is focusing on science communication research, only articles that were identified as research studies or systematic reviews under the category type have been analyzed in detail. For all other article types, the analysis stopped after their type had been established. Detailed instructions, descriptions of categories and examples were included in the codebook. Over 2 months, a team of 9 coders was trained. The coders were science communication students at Rheinwald University ranging from their second to ninth semester, meaning that all of them had academic education in science communication and natural sciences. They were familiar with various different theories and concepts, formats and methods in SCR. Test coding was discussed in the group to make sure the coders receive feedback from experienced science communication scholars. This iterative process of testing and debriefing also helped to improve the category descriptions in the codebook and led to some categories being added inductively. At the end, we used a randomized and stratified sample of 130 articles, 2 issues from each of the 3 journals, to determine the intercoder reliability. Based on the expected number of articles n equals 1,784, 2002 to 2016, this is about 7% of the data. The intercoder reliability was calculated as Krippendorf's alpha. Krippendorf's alpha is widely regarded as one of the most reliable and sophisticated methods, as it does not only take the raw agreement of coders into account, but also their agreement by pure chance. Generally, values of 0.8 and higher are desired, while values between 0.8 and 0.67 are only defendable in some cases, and values below 0.667 are unacceptable, Krippendorf, 2011. The values for this intercoder reliability analysis were calculated using the Krippendorf's Alpha Python implementation FastKrippendorf, PLN FinUDELA, 2019. As only the presence or absence of certain values for each variable was coded, the nominal metric for Krippendorf's alpha was used. To further support intercoder reliability claims, a post-test was conducted in addition to the pre-test. Here the final codings were compared to the original ICR coding pairs, meaning the final coder acted as a third coder. The coders were allowed to code up to 3 choices for some variables: topic cluster, topic detail, participants, target group, research method, and data analysis method. This helps to explain the lower values in percent of agreement. Some coders used all 3 options and others only chose 1 or 2 of the options. In addition, any disagreement in the categories of variables for topic and context automatically leads to a disagreement in the topic detail and context discipline variables, as the decision in the categories determines the range of options in the subcategories. For further details, see codebook as attachment B. The variable gender was coded by 2 additional coders, and in cases of disagreement, a third coder made the final decision. It also was the only variable that was tested on the entire dataset, leading to a very high number of coded cases and thus excellent Krippendorf's alpha score. Since the pretest was conducted on the full dataset, yielding a sufficiently high score, the gender variable was not included in the post-test. Regarding the Krippendorf's alpha score, the variable research timing appears to be insufficient, 0.25, pretest, or 0.43, post-test, corresponding to a low acceptance level. The percent of agreement, however, is 84.6%. The low Krippendorf sulfur score therefore is due to the dominance of one of the categories, leading to a high probability of agreement by chance. This dominance has an impact on the statistical calculation for Krippendorf sulfur, resulting in a low score, despite the high level of agreement. This effect has been described in the literature, Feinstein and Schicchetti 1990. Previous test coding, as well as the final results, assured us that this effect was not created by a skewed sample. Once the intercoder reliability was considered sufficient, and debriefings were implemented, the coders started coding the actual dataset in two steps, first for the period 2002 to 2016, and then the time frame 1979 to 2016. For data analysis and data visualization, Google Sheets, Microsoft Excel, SPSS and Tableau were used. Journal analysis, Nature, Science, Essay, Major Works. The same coding procedure was applied to articles about science communication from the major scientific journals Science, Nature, and Scientific American Magazine, published between 1903 and 2016. The articles were identified by searching for the term science communication using the full text search on the journal's websites. The search delivered 330 articles. However, when the coders read the papers, they found that 73 were natural science papers and did not actually discuss science communication. The basis for coding decisions of the remaining 257 articles was the description of the categories in the codebook rather than the classification provided by the journals. In addition, 79 articles from the collection of the Public Communication of Science, Major Works in Public Communication of Science, Book E, Trench 2016A, were analyzed. In total, 3,133 articles were analyzed, including 313 systematic reviews and 1,097 research studies where context and topics were coded. In addition, the 1,097 research studies were characterized with regards to participants, target groups, research focus, research timing, research method, and data analysis. Expert survey, interviews part 1. In a first round, partly in parallel to the online survey, we conducted 33 semi-structured interviews with experienced science communication researchers from around the world, see Attachment A. The interviewees included 7 people based in the United Kingdom, 4 based in Germany and 4 in the USA. 4 people who completed the survey were subsequently unavailable for interviews. We therefore interviewed 52% of the experts originally invited to be involved, and 86% of the experts who completed the survey. During the interviews, the experts were asked 3 broad questions in the initial interview about the respondents' perceptions about science communication research, the trends over the past 30 years, the gaps, and future needs. Q1. What has been the focus of science communication research, SCR, over the past 30 years? Has this changed over this time? Q2. Which areas of SCR have been underrepresented in SCR over the past 30 years? What are the reasons for these gaps? Q3. What should the field of SCR focus on in the future? What are the challenges and what sort of support is needed for that development? In addition, the interviewer teased out perceptions about topics, methodologies and approaches. All interviews were conducted via phone, video chat between December 2016 and January 2017. The interviews were analyzed thematically based on recordings and notes taken during the interviews in order to identify dominant perceptions of the interviewed experts. It is important to emphasize that the interviews represent the participants' perceptions, which does not necessarily mean that the remarks stand for specific research into the topic by the respective interviewees. Some respondents wanted to make it clear that their perceptions were likely to be colored by their own specific research interests and experiences. Expert survey, expert interviews part 2. In the second round of interviews, the experts were presented with preliminary results of the journal analysis of the 3 specialist science communication journals, Public Understanding of Science, Science Communication and Journal of Science Communication, which was provided to them prior to the interviews. 34 interviews were conducted with science communication experts from around the world. See Attachment G Expert Interview, Part 2, via phone, video chat between February and March 2017. This included 7 people based in the United Kingdom, 4 in Germany and 5 in the USA. These people were all interviewed previously about science communication research trends and gaps over the past 30 years. An additional interviewee, Dietram Schäufeler, was only available later and thus added to the second round of interviews. The experts were asked 3 reflective questions about the data. Q1, what interested or surprises you? Q2, do you have any explanations for the data? Q3, what further investigations of the data might be useful? In addition, as a result from the literature review and other studies, a tangential question was asked about any suggestions the experts might have for better linking science communication theory with practice. Similar to the process in Part 1, the interviews were analyzed thematically based on audio recordings, transcriptions and notes taken during the interviews in order to identify dominant perceptions of the interviewed experts. Gray literature analysis. By its very nature, gray literature is an area that is difficult to define or circumscribe. This makes it difficult to have an empirically sound set population from which a representative sample can be drawn. However, despite the sampling limitations, this does not prevent a systematic analysis being carried out on the texts that have been selected. The selection of texts was made based on extensive international expertise within the project team. Suggestions taken from experts interviewed as part of the project. Cross-references picked up from within the grey literature itself. In total, there were 22 documents selected from the United Kingdom, UK, United States of America, USA, European Union, EU, Australia, Canada, and South Africa. In addition, 33 German publications were analyzed. Publication dates ranged from 2002 to 2016 for the international texts and from 1999 to 2016 for the German documents. Some sources were conference proceedings with brief texts about various talks. Here, those texts within the documents addressing general issues of science communication were included for analysis. The systematic framework analyses of publications considered the following themes. Journals and papers referenced. Key themes and, or case studies. Theoretical stances mentioned or used. Science communication trends. Research gaps identified. Although not strictly a theme within the matrix, additional further points of interest were also noted. Results and discussion. 1. Increasing number of research publications. Between 1979 and 2016, the 3 science communication specialist journals published 2,797 papers of all types. The results for this period were compared with those from 2012 to 2016. Between 1903 and 2016, 2 of the world's oldest journals, Nature and Science, published 257 papers on science communication. The major works included 79 papers. Coders selected 1 type for each paper. All of the papers, except for the major works, were also coded according to the gender of the corresponding papers. 1.1 The number of articles on science communication has increased significantly. The first journal dedicated to this subject, Science Communication, SCX, began publication in 1979. Since then, 2 other specialist journals have been launched, Public Understanding of Science, PUS, in 1992 and the Journal of Science Communication, JCOM, in 2002, and both have increased the number of issues they publish each year. PUS increased from 4 to 6 issues in 2009 and then went to 8 issues in 2012. CHOM increased from 4 to 6 issues in 2016. The number of SCR publications have also continuously increased in Nature, Science and Scientific American, SA. Additional open access publications have emerged in the past few years, yet almost exclusively in the UK. Furthermore, the SCR communities in India, China, and Japan have research outlets in their native languages, which mostly go unnoticed internationally, however. 1.2 peer-reviewed research studies make up 40% of all articles. The most common type of paper found in the three science communication journals were peer-reviewed research studies. Between 1979 and 2016, the three specialist journals published 1,350 papers in the categories of research studies, 1,083, or systematic reviews, 267. Research studies have steadily increased as a proportion over time in the specialist journals, particularly with the advent of PUS in 1992, from a median of 24% in 1979 to 1999, 7 studies in total, to a median of 37% in 2000 to 2016, 43 studies in total. Other types of papers published in the three journals include commentaries, 13%, which increased in number when JCOM started in 2002. The number of essays, 11%, systematic reviews of research, 10%, book reviews, 8%, and literature reviews, 7%, has fluctuated throughout the years at relatively low numbers. Systematic reviews of research have steadily declined as a percentage of papers, from a median of 14% in 1979 to 1999, 6 reviews in total, to a median of 10% in 2000 to 2016, 11 reviews in total. The three general journals published 257 articles on science communication over the period between 1903 and 2016, but it is remarkable that not a single one of those were reports on actual empirical research on science communication. Instead, they focused on news, reports, and announcements. 1.3 experts see the rise in research studies as a maturing of the field. Most of the experts, 2134, interpret the increase in empirical research studies, compared to more theoretical reviews or commentaries, as a maturing of science communication in the field of academic research, although some, 534, thought it might be due to increased funding for issues-based research, for example topic and tool-specific calls such as about the online communication of animal research, and a greater institutional pressure on researchers to publish. As one expert said, "It is good to see an increase in international collaboration, though this is not a big surprise with Europe having big research programs. Brussels is pushing for a more international approach to research, including science communication, and this may be reflected by your figures, Michel Claersens, ITER International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor." They were concerned by the decline in systematic reviews of research, essay page 20, which are considered to be the gold standard in any other disciplines, since they integrate findings from a wide variety, ideally even all available evidence on a certain topic, on a meta level, especially given the role such reviews play in creating a field of study or even a discipline. Such meta-analyses, which put individual findings into context, are also known for fostering the transfer of a more relevant combination of results into practice. The experts felt this was due to the lack of funding or academic reward for this sort of research, which obviously exceeds what could normally be done within, for example, a single PhD project. As one expert, Professor Bridget Nerlich, University of Nottingham, said, "You don't tend to get points for this sort of research. There are likely institutional pressures against this sort of research." 1.4 Generally more male authors in SCR, but female researchers are catching up. As long as all countries covered by this study are considered, the mean proportion of male authors, 55%, does not divert much from comparable fields of research. This rises to 58% if the count records only corresponding authors, the lead author of a paper. In the last 5 years, female corresponding authors have overtaken males as authors of research studies, 53%, and systematic reviews, 52%, and achieved near parity with the total number of papers contributed, 49%. However, in the three general science journals, male authorship is even more pronounced than in the specialist science communication journals, where males write 70% of articles on science communication. 2. USA and UK prevail in all types of publications. 2.1 More than 50% of specialist journal articles have authors from the USA and UK. A count of corresponding authors shows that the USA is responsible for 41% and the UK for 15% of all articles written. Italy came third with 6%, reflecting the fact that JCOM was initiated from Italy, and most of the other 56 countries contributed less than 1%, with none more than 4%. The countries and institutions of the corresponding authors for all papers were coded for all papers except for the major works. 2.2 Most authors from developed countries, but more countries are contributing. Prior to 1995, fewer than 10 different countries contributed papers to the specialist journals in any one year, but this is increasing steadily and peaked in 2014 with articles from authors from 37 different countries. Over the life of the specialist journals, corresponding authors have come from over one-third of all countries, 59,195. But publication is skewed to developed countries, a list of the top 20 ranked countries, which cover more than 90% of all publications, include not a single developing nation but at least two emerging economies, Brazil, 1.4%, and India, 0.6%. 2.3 Europe has overtaken the US as largest contributor. Regionally, North America, 46%, and Europe, 39%, dominate the rankings of corresponding authors for all types of papers in the specialist journals. Asia, 4%, and Africa, 0.75%, are almost on a different scale. Europe has increased its share of publications since 1992, probably reflecting the formation of two new journals of science communication, PUS and CHOM, and figures for the past 5 years, 2012 to 2016, show Europe, 51%, well in front of North America, 29%. Germany, 3%. 2.4 Likely causes and impacts. While not surprised at the prevalence of English-speaking countries, some experts were astonished at the extent of US-UK influence. They believed the causes were the geographic location of the journals, and where they were initiated, SCX in the USA, PUS in the UK, CHOM in Italy. The difficulty of publishing in English for non-native speakers. The well-established traditions and institutions for science communication in the USA and the UK. The size of contributing countries such as the USA, which is the largest country in the world publishing in English. 2.5 The most active institutions are in the USA and the UK. An analysis of all types of papers in the specialist journals confirmed the dominance of institutions in the USA and the UK. Every institution in the top 20 was based in the USA or UK, except for the University of Amsterdam. When limiting the analysis to research studies and systematic review papers, the top 25 list was led by North American and British institutions, and included only four institutions from other countries: the University of Amsterdam, University of Twente, Aarhus University, and the University of Calgary. Overall, the University of Wisconsin-Madison, UWM, in the USA topped the rankings as the most prolific contributor of all papers, 60, including research studies and systematic reviews, 44. UWM's dominance is not surprising, said one of the experts, given they have one of the oldest and most active science communication programs in the world. There is a mix of institutions contributing to science communication research, and it is interesting that no single institution contributes across all three science communication journals. One of the experts, Professor Alan Irwin, said, It's a field where there are so many different disciplines from psychology to statistical analysis. This is a field that hasn't entirely come together in terms of institutions. 2.6 North America and Europe dominate the general journals Nature and Science. Contributions in the general journals follow a similar pattern to the three specialist science communication journals analyzed above. Authors based in 13 different countries contributed to the analyzed papers, N equals 116, as corresponding or co-authors, and the number of contributing countries has increased over the last decade, peaking at 6 per year in 2008, 2013 and 2015. While authors from the USA and the UK are the major contributors of science communication papers in Nature, Americans largely write papers in Science and Scientific American. There were no research studies in any of the general journals, and no systematic reviews about science communication published in Nature. 3. National and international collaboration on the rise. 3.1 single-author papers down, multi-author papers up. The number of single authors publishing all types of papers in the specialist journals is decreasing, with papers from collaborating authors on the rise. While single authors published 56% of papers over the whole study period, 1979 to 2016, the figure for the last 5 years has dropped to 40%. More authors are now collaborating with others in their own countries, up from 31% to 37%, or with authors from other countries, up from 14% to 24%. National and international collaboration in research studies or systematic review papers across the specialist journals is stronger than for all paper types, and has increased in the past 5 years compared to the entire period, 1979 to 2016. 3.2 Which authors are most likely to collaborate? Authors in the most productive countries, the USA and the UK, are not the most likely to collaborate. An analysis across the top 8 producing countries for the three specialist science communication journals shows the USA has a very low rate of international collaboration. Germany and Australia are the most collaborative, see Figure 4. The USA and the UK are more likely to publish papers with single authors or with authors collaborating internally, and most research studies and systematic reviews produced by Italy are by single authors. In the past 5 years, all 8 countries have increased their international collaboration, for example, USA, 9% to 15%, UK, 24% to 35%, and Italy, 4% to 12%. The level of single authorship has decreased correspondingly. Most countries, bar the UK, Canada and Spain, have also increased levels of national collaboration. 3.3 Single authors mostly publish in the general journals. An examination of all the papers published in Nature and Science journals as well as Scientific American where the authors' countries could be identified, N equals 116, showed most were written by single authors, 62%. Where collaborative work was involved, international collaborations outnumbered national collaborations by 2 to 1, 26% to 13%. More prolific authors from the USA and the UK generally undertook both types of collaboration. Even so, most papers by American, 75%, and British, 71%, authors were single author. An examination of the systematic reviews shows more international, 51%, and national, 20%, collaboration and far fewer single-authored papers, 29%. Over time, national collaboration has increased and single authors have decreased. 3.4 Digitization and funding incentives driving international collaboration. Most experts were interested but unsurprised to hear of the recent increase in international collaboration in the specialist journals. This was not surprising to me, the fact that conferences are being held international and the global scope of technological developments and science issues, you see this on the issue of climate change and papers published. Professor Edna Einsiedel, University of Calgary. Some said that similar increases were also found in research published in other disciplines. The reasons they offered were: Major American and European funding for large collaborative multi-country and organization research projects, many granting agencies require participation by social scientists in large-scale projects, so there have been more publications on science communication-related questions, Professor Edna Einsiedel, University of Calgary. In Europe, for instance, this phenomenon can probably be attributed to the European Policy of Responsible Research and Innovation, RRI. Institutions pushing researchers to collaborate through mechanisms such as increased academic rewards for multi-authored papers. The internet making collaboration easier. The influence of international events such as the Public Communication of Science and Technology, PCSD, biennial conferences. Direct efforts by journal editors, especially PUS and JCOM, to support collaboration. 4. Research mainly without disciplinary focus. 4.1 Most SCR publications address science in general. More than a third, 36%, of the research studies and systematic review papers published in the specialist journals in the period 1979 to 2016 fell into category of general science, meaning they did not address science communication in relation to a particular scientific discipline. While this is not a negative outcome, it does mean there are fewer studies focused on the specific issues facing various disciplines. When papers were based on a disciplinary context, it was most likely to be biology, including medicine, health, at 24%. This was followed by environment, ecology, 14%, technology, 13%, and social sciences, 6%. All other disciplines were covered by fewer than 4% of the papers. Analysis of the same types of papers, N equals 60, in the general journals and major works produced similar results. Most had no disciplinary context, 48%, but where such a context was present, biology, 25%, ranked top from technology, 12%, physical sciences, 7%, humanities, 5%, and environment, ecology, 3%. In total, between 1979 and 2016, the three science communication specialist journals published 1,350 papers in the categories of research studies, 1,083, or systematic reviews, 267. Between 1903 and 2016, the three general publications included 26 systematic review papers and no research study papers. The major works included 14 research study papers and 20 systematic reviews. Coders could select one major disciplinary context for each paper, for example biology, and then up to three more specific disciplinary contexts for each paper, which were linked to the major discipline chosen for that paper, for example medicine/health, genetics. 4.2 Recent shift to papers with a specific disciplinary context. An analysis of specialist journals shows a recent, 2012 to 2016, trend by authors to focus their work in a disciplinary context, such as biology, 28%, or environment, ecology, 22%. The figures for the physical sciences, mathematics and earth sciences are much lower, as are papers focused on the humanities, arts and social science. 4.3 Arguments for and against discipline focus. Most experts interviewed were unsurprised by the prevalence of a biology and environment disciplinary context in the papers. Most thought the increasing focus on specific disciplines in recent years was a positive development, while others were concerned that funding agendas may drive this, and therefore putting big picture science communication at risk. One expert said, "Research often depends on availability of money, which is related to problems that politicians perceive as problems, such as climate change, nuclear power, and now embryonic research and reproduction research," Professor Hans-Peter Peters, Forschungszentrum Jülich. Several experts saw the lack of a specific disciplinary context as an important gap in science communication research. They postulated it could lead to a lack of focus on concepts and ideas, both important for the theoretical development of science communication. Another view concerned the lower, and declining, publication of science communication papers about technology, which several experts considered was caused by a diversion of papers into more specific journals, or as Edna Eisenbel put it, from science communication journals into journals covering biotechnology, human genomics, nanotechnology, and more recently synthetic human biology. 4.4 Comparing the disciplinary context with the topic. Analysis of the research studies and systematic reviews in the three specialist journals found. Media, social media topics cover all disciplines except physical sciences. Science communication theory topics dominate papers with no disciplinary context, as well as the most frequent contexts of biological sciences, environment/ecology and technology. Topics covering publics and education and training were most often found in papers focused on humanities and social science disciplines. Research with a disciplinary focus on the arts was more likely to study objects, for example newspaper articles, blogs, texts, exhibitions, than people. For all disciplinary contexts, except for social sciences, the public was both the major participant, directly studied by the researcher through surveys, focus groups, etc., and the major target group, indirectly studied by analyzing tools such as newspaper texts, blogs, etc., which have a target group in mind. For research papers focused on a social science context, researchers dominated as both the participants and target groups for research. 4.5 Digging deeper into those broad disciplinary boundaries. Coding of papers published in the three specialist journals for subdisciplines revealed that biology is dominated by studies about health, medical research, 55%, and genetics, 24%. Climate change, 53%, is the largest group in the environment, ecology context, and papers on biotechnology, 49%, and nanotechnology, 27%, are leading in the technology context. Other disciplinary contexts have too few papers to produce meaningful figures. Similar results were found for papers analyzed in the general journals and major works. The politicization and contested views of climate change, biotechnology and nanotechnology may well be a reason for seeing many papers focus on these contexts. This backs up the perceptions of the experts, who said that controversial science issues drove the specific contexts for science communication research. 4.6 Comparing approaches by male and female researchers in the specialized journals. A comparison of the disciplinary context with gender found that female corresponding authors publish more research studies and systematic review papers than male authors on specific disciplines such as biology, physical sciences, arts and humanities. They are slightly more likely to publish papers on environment/ecological sciences disciplines, and this trend has increased over the last 5 years, 2012 to 2016. They write a majority of science communication papers in all biological areas. By contrast, male authors write more of the research studies and systematic reviews that do not specify a discipline, and also more on technology, except for nanotechnology and climate change. Female authors have increased their publication rates during the past 5 years of climate change papers. 5. Main theoretical focus. 5.1 Science communication theory's common theme, yet mainly in reference. While science communication theories emerged as the most common topic with 41%, it should be noted the papers coded this way are likely to be referring to theories, rather than developing or exploring theories about science communication. It should also be noted that the separate major topic of engagement is likely to be also associated with some references to science communication theories. Most papers focused theories from public understanding of science and technology, 42%, risk communication, 30%, or science literacy, 16%. Science communication theory focusing on the public understanding of science or science literacy was equally prominent in the general journals and major works. These results support the expert analyses, 25-33, which predicted the dominance of research into science literacy and public understanding of science, particularly with earlier science communication research. 30 years ago, we were talking about science literacy and public understanding of science. And research began in the late 1980s and early 1990s helped to focus us away from science literacy to public engagement and talking about the need to pay attention to what audiences need and what their interests were and what knowledge they already have. Professor Bruce Lewinstein, Cornell University. After seeing initial results from the journal analysis, the experts were concerned that funding priorities may mean that too little attention is given to theoretical studies. One expert asked, "Where is the higher-level conceptual thinking that connects things? Is the discipline fragmenting with so many small individual studies?" I am becoming more convinced we need research that takes a step out and considers some concepts and issues and not just one-off small studies. Professor Joan Leach, Australian National University. Others noted the difficulty of publishing theoretical papers compared to empirical research data. But Susanna Priest, editor of Science Communication, said, "We don't publish any paper that is just about theory. And we don't publish any paper that doesn't include theory." The prominence of this topic indicates many research studies and systematic reviews refer to science communication theories, without necessarily examining them in depth. There is a basic level of interest in communication theory. Massimiano Bucchi, recently appointed editor of Public Understanding of Science, said, "Our most cited papers are classical theoretical papers. Ryan Trench and I published a paper on 10 keywords of science and society, and after 3 days of being posted on Academia there were 600 views. So clearly there is a demand for theoretical papers and modeling." In analyzing this context, coders could select up to 3 major topics for each paper, for example attitudes, behavior, media, social media, science communication theories, and then could select more specific disciplinary contexts for each paper, which linked the major topics chosen for that paper. 5.2 Media and social media, the second most popular topic. Under the broad heading of media, the topics covered in the 3 science communication journals were print media, 33%, science writing, journalism, 23%, all mass media, 21%, and radio and television, 9%. Relatively few covered online media, 8%, social media, 0.5%, or blogging, 1%. The number of publications under this broad heading has not grown significantly in the last 5 years, 37% to 40%. This pattern was replicated in coverage in the general journals and major works, where mass media, print media, radio, TV and science writing dominated media research. The experts predicted this popularity of media research, especially in early SCR publications, but the low level of research into online, digital and social media surprised them. One expert called for more research into new media. How are new media platforms being utilized? How are these platforms changing the way science is communicated? Professor Edna Einsiedel, University of Calgary, in contrast to the journals, the grey literature does focus on these areas, looking at how digitalization and social media are becoming more important to science communication. 5.3 Attitudes and Behaviors, the third topic. 1/3 of research studies and systematic review papers published in the specialist journals examined attitudes and behaviors, and that proportion has risen to 40% in the last 5 years. Most, 86%, were about beliefs, perceptions and values, with 8% focused on behavioral change. Attitudes and behaviors were also significant topics in major works, but not in the general journals. 5.4 Tools, Methods and Practices, the fourth topic. Most papers about science communication tools, methods or practices were on visualization, images, 18%, specific tools, 12%, museums, science centers, 12%, or science and art, 7%, but a large proportion, 24%, were coded as other due to focusing on very specific methods and practices. Only 5% of the papers looked at open science as a method, and even fewer, 2%, examined public relations as a method. 5.5. Other topics in the specialist journals. There were relatively few research studies or systematic reviews in the specialist journals on other topics such as engagement, education, training, science communication actors, publics, and history of science communication. In contrast, papers published in general journals did cover science communication actors, focusing mainly on scientists. 5.6 Research into upstream engagement increasing. While coming off a relatively low base, the number of papers on engagement has increased over the past 5 years. The experts thought this should be a popular topic as the term is now in common use, but there appears to be a time lag between the use of the term science engagement and its presence as a significant topic for research or systematic review. At the suggestion of some experts, engagement topics participation and public engagement were compared with the topic public understanding of science, listed under the major topic of science communication theories, for the full research period. Public understanding of science was the dominant topic until 2010, but has since declined, to the point in 2016 where papers on engagement, 30, were double those on public understanding of science, 14. The grey literature devotes even more attention to public engagement than the specialist and general journals, through surveys, which map activities and theoretical discussions about public engagement as a spectrum of activities. Just like in the journals, this focus on engagement is contrasted to deficit and dialogue models, i.e. looks more at including stakeholders, co-creating research, and learning from groups formerly reduced to audiences. Experts considered public controversies about science, for example mad cow disease, BSE, nuclear power and genetic modification, to drive policymakers and institutions to look at different and more effective forms of science communication, including dialogue and participation. There has been considerable research on new, emerging technologies which began some decades ago with the focus on biotechnology. The ensuing controversies around this technology were fodder for more science communication research. Professor Edna Einsiedel, University of Calgary. Experts also believed the growth and institutionalization of science communication practice, especially over the last 20 years, has changed the nature of science communication research. However, one expert was concerned about the increasing focus on engagement and a research community potentially overestimating its capacity to explain this in theory. The conceptualization of engagement is idealistic and follows the idea of an ideal speech. Some of the social theorists imagine this as a genuine practice. They assume it is possible for us to be ideal in engagement. But few studies point to engagement being ideal in practice, so if we can't get it right in practice, why do we think we can theorize? Professor Richard Holloman, Open University UK, the grey literature records many references to a shift from public understanding of science to public engagement with science, with engagement moving upstream to determine the direction of research. It also examines the idea of expertise and the role of scientists and science within society, particularly within the context of having a social license to operate and providing rewards for science communication activities. The grey literature demonstrates a growing contextualization of the science, making the case for a reward system that recognizes contributions other than publication in journals. 6. Research mostly studies the general public. Each SCR publication was analyzed as to which extent it focuses on social settings, people, for example their attitudes, behaviors, and, or objects, for example newspaper texts or online blogs. For each research paper, the coders could also select up to 3 different participant groups where researchers had focused on studying attitudes and behavior, and up to 3 different target groups for where researchers had focused on objects. 6.1 More studies focused on people than communication formats and channels. Most of the research studies published in the specialist journals over the full study period focused on people, 52%, than objects, 34%, or a combination of people and objects, 14%. These figures surprised some of the experts, who expected more researchers to include both people and objects. It is surprising that not more research on using both people and objects, such as content analysis of texts and then checking what this means with people. Associates Professor Eilert Barum-Tsabari, Technion. Of the 14 research studies included in the major works, 9 were focused on objects, 4 on people and 1 on both. 6.2 Comparing people and object-based research. People-focused research was mostly about science communication theories, 30%, attitudes, behavior, 26%, and engagement, 14%. Object-focused research papers were most frequently on media, social media topics, 31%, science communication theories, 16%, and attitudes, behavior, 8%. The 3 most common topics covered by research studies covering both people and objects were attitudes, behavior, media, social media, and science communication theories. Comparing participants or target groups with other variables coded showed that when research studies the general public, statistical rather than content analysis is used to assess the data, which likely reflects the high use of questionnaires, surveys as a research method. When technology is the context for research, the participants or the target groups are most likely to be scientists, researchers, and the topic is most likely to be science communication actors. When research involves participants other than the general public, interviews, observations and focus groups are more likely to be used than questionnaires. 6.3 Researchers mostly studied the general public rather than more specific groups. When looking at the participants in the research studies published in the 3 science communication journals where coders could choose up to 3 different participant groups, the most common group to study in research studies published in the 3 specialist journals was the general public, citizens, 31%, followed by scientists, researchers, 19%. No other group featured in more than 8% of papers, and studies involving indigenous communities, 0.5%, artists, 0.3%, or senior citizens, 0.2%, were extremely rare. These percentages have not changed significantly in the past 5 years. In gender analysis, female corresponding authors showed a much stronger interest in studying people, with 53% looking at the general public, citizens. This contrasts with a preference by their male counterparts, 55%, to have no participants in their research, in other words, to be studying objects like a media item. Research studies investigating people most commonly use questionnaires, surveys, 33%, interviews, 17%, and focus groups, 7%. Statistical analysis of data, 31%, is used more than content analysis, 22%, for these studies. 6.4 Researchers mostly study objects whose target group is the general public. The analysis was then applied to target groups, defined as the people interested in or affected by an object under study. For example, if a media article was analyzed, the target group is the audience the article is aimed at. For most of the research papers in the specialist journals, the most common target group of the objects studied was again the general public, citizens, 48%, followed by researchers, 23%, stakeholders, 15%, government administrators, policymakers, 7%, media professionals, 5%, and business, industry, commercial interests, 4%. All other target groups were mentioned in less than 3% of papers. Only one study focused on objects targeting senior citizens. In the last 5 years, there has been an increased number of research studies targeting the general public, 55%, researchers, 27%, and stakeholders, 23%. This means objects with other target groups have been studied even less in the last 5 years. Research studies investigating objects mostly used content analysis, 25%, to assess the collected data rather than statistical analysis, 14%. A comparison of genders showed female corresponding authors are more likely to have no target groups, 52%, in their research, likely because they researched people rather than objects. Male authors were more likely to be studying objects where the target group was general public, citizens, 52%. The participants and target groups of the 14 major works research studies followed a similar pattern, dominated by studies involving or targeting the general public, citizens. 6.5 Increasing attention by researchers to stakeholders. Stakeholder is a term increasingly used in research studies, both as participants, where their behaviors are studied directly, and as target groups, for instance, where a website or media report aimed at stakeholders is studied. This corresponds to the increasing use of this term in English since the mid-1990s. Stakeholder theory owes much to the U.S. scholar R. Edward Freeman in the 1980s. Basically, a stakeholder can affect or be affected by the activities of an organization. 7. One-off research studies mostly use questionnaires. All SCR publications were coded as to whether they were a one-off study, longitudinal or pre/post-experimental in nature. For each research paper, coders could also select up to 3 different research methods and 3 different data analysis techniques. 7.1 Most research is one-off assessment with declining longitudinal and pre/post studies. Most of the research studies, 93%, published in the 3 journals are one-off assessments. Pre/post-experimental studies, 4%, and longitudinal studies, 3%, extending over 10 years or more are very rare, with only 75 such studies published over a 37-year period. The proportions have changed little in the last 5 years, except that the number of longitudinal studies has even declined slightly and pre/post-experimental studies have increased. Of 14 research studies identified in major works, 12 are one-off assessments and 2 are longitudinal studies. When longitudinal studies do occur, they are more likely to focus on objects, for example newspaper articles on climate change, than people. Pre/post-experimental studies mostly investigate people. The experts were concerned about the low number and continuing decline of longitudinal and pre/post-experimental studies. They saw a reason for this in the lack of funding or institutional support for such studies, and said it was easier to win research grants for single-issue studies. Longitudinal studies are difficult to conduct and difficult to get funded. Dr. Emma Whitecamp, editor of CHOM, also PhD projects tend to focus on a comparatively short time span. At the suggestion of the experts, the 36 longitudinal studies were compared in more detail. More than half were long-term media studies, typically about print coverage. For example, a longitudinal study of the New York Times Science Times section, Key Trends in Environmental Advertising Across 30 Years in National Geographic Magazine, and The Uncertainties of Climate Change in Spanish Daily Newspapers, Content Analysis of Press Coverage from 2000 to 2010. 1/4 of the longitudinal studies focused on beliefs, perceptions or values. 2 examples, Attitudes to Genetically Modified Food Over Time, How Trust in Organizations and the Media Cycle Predict Support, and The Development of Young American Adults' Attitudes About Risks Associated with Nuclear Power. A gender comparison shows that male corresponding authors are more likely to publish longitudinal studies, 61%, and that during the past 5 years, 2012 to 2016, female authors are more likely to publish pre/post-experimental studies, 72%. 7.2 Questionnaires, Surveys Dominate Research Methods. Research studies across the 3 science communication journals were most frequently carried out by using questionnaires, surveys, 40%. The second most common method, 31%, was to collect and analyze data about a set of objects, for example, a series of newspaper articles on climate change. In comparing different methodologies and their popularity over time, there has been little change to overall trends in the past 5 years, except for a trend towards more observational research and less database work. The methodologies in the 14 research studies in major works most commonly used a database through analyzing objects such as media texts. Then followed questionnaires, surveys, observations, and interviews. The experts thought that early science communication research would be dominated by large quantitative surveys of the public about their understanding or opinions of science. The content analysis largely supports these perceptions. Questionnaires and surveys remain an important tool for science communication research. I laugh when I saw surveys are still dominant. Survey research from the 80s is still prevalent. Everyone runs big surveys. Dr. Emily Dawson, University College London. An examination of papers by the gender of their author reveals distinct preferences in methodology. Female authors are more likely to publish research papers using focus groups, 62%, workshop or panel, 62%, and interviews, 52%, often in combination. Male authors prefer databases, 53%, and questionnaires and surveys, 50%. However, the last 5 years has seen a trend for females to use questionnaires and surveys, 55%, and databases, 53%. When research method was compared with topic for the same papers, the following patterns emerged. Researchers studying engagement are most likely to use interviews or workshops, panels as a research method. Researchers studying media, social media are more likely to assess databases than investigate people, except through observations. Researchers studying attitudes and behaviors or science communication theories will use a combination of methods. 7.3 Content and statistical analyses dominate. Given the high use of surveys and questionnaires and secondary data, databases, by authors publishing research studies, it is not surprising that data are mostly assessed through content analysis, 57%, or statistical, 51%, analysis. Surveys and questionnaires are mostly statistically analyzed, while other research methods generally use content analysis. Discourse, 12%, and rhetorical, 5%, analysis is far less likely to be used to assess the data. An examination of papers published over the last 5 years shows no significant variation. Historically, male authors use more statistical analysis, 54%, than females, but in the last 5 years female authors have caught up and overtaken male authors in using statistical analysis, 51%. Female authors use all other data analysis techniques more commonly than males. The 14 research papers included in major works used only statistical and content analysis methods, in that order. 7.4 Experts on quantitative and qualitative methods. The experts were divided over the implications of different approaches to science communication research. They noted the increasing mix of quantitative and qualitative methods used by researchers, and some saw this as a sign that science communication was growing as a distinct field of academic research. One expert noted, "When I wrote my own thesis, I hinted at the unfertile isolation of quantitative and qualitative studies and the positioning between these. I think this has leveled off in some way." Dr. Niels Medjlegaard, Aarhus University. Others were concerned at the continuing bifurcation into quantitative or qualitative methodologies. They felt that despite the rhetoric, science communication research has remained static, using the same methods and reinventing the same topics. "I don't see much innovation in methodologies. It's either quantitative or qualitative work, but nothing looked striking, unusual or different. This is reflective of the field in general." Professor Edna Einsiedel, University of Calgary, "The bibliometric and content analysis data supports these perceptions." 8. Making research relevant to practitioners. The journal analysis did not specifically examine where papers explicitly or implicitly linked research to practice, but this idea was addressed by the experts in the second round of interviews. It is apparent from the analysis that significant science communication research is being published outside of the three specialist journals or not even published at all due to the lack of impact on practice or even just visibility in scholarship. None of the journals in the field reaches even a journal impact factor at least of 2.0. Furthermore, results from certain more specialized sub-disciplines such as risk communication or public health are often covered in even less visible journals, which increases the fragmentation of the field further. The limited visibility of most results in the field is obviously further obstructed by the fact that most publications are still closed access, which keeps content behind paywalls and thus even technically unavailable for many practitioners. However, even if more research results were publicly available, which they are for instance in the open access journal JOM Journal of Science Communication, practitioners worldwide are mostly not willing or interested in taking the initiative to work their way through SCR publications. Several non-representative surveys in the UK and the USA have shown this for quite a while. For Germany in particular, a sister project to this study included a highly representative randomized survey, which showed that hardly any practitioners know, let alone use, scholarly journals, and consequently are rarely aware of specific theoretical or methodological schools of thought. 8.1 Linking research to practice. Experts' views were mixed about the need to link research with practice. Some considered this an important challenge for all researchers. We need an applied footprint, otherwise we are irrelevant, Professor Dietram Schäufele, University of Wisconsin-Madison. Others disagreed, saying it was not their role and in any case, not all research in science communication had practical implications. My job is to look at what is happening and think of that in a deeper and more insightful way. It's not necessarily to make museum practitioners more engaging when they lose all their funding. Dr. Emily Dawson, University College London. A few experts felt that science communication researchers were already doing a good job of linking research with practice. We try and have as many articles as possible to link theory with practice. We are very proud of this. Professor Susanna Priest, editor of the journal Science Communication, SCX. 8.22 Camps, researchers versus practitioners. The experts perceived a number of barriers between science communication researchers and practitioners. The cultures of researchers and practitioners are different, and this creates a tension between two camps. As one expert said, if you have discussions at conferences, then these two groups speak different languages and have different interests. Dr. Beata Farnrich, Bohr, Zeppelin University. Culture of researchers. Journals are written for an academic audience and are not always easily understood by practitioners. As one expert said, the stuff we have the most difficulty publishing is stuff with a practical focus, compared to something that has a theory that is recognized. Professor Dietram Schäufele, University of Wisconsin-Madison. The incentive structure of universities and research institutions favors academic publications over promoting practice change or evaluation of practice. Researchers aim to meet the needs of the group, funders, colleagues, that will judge, employ and promote them rather than solve practical problems. Culture of practitioners. Practitioners tend not to read journals or seek out research to inform their practice. They feel research has done little to solve practical problems, for example evaluation, helping them to mount persuasive arguments to policy makers. Science communication as a field of research expertise is still not perceived to be valuable by practitioners, including policy makers. We don't have a calling card for science communication. We can be happy with our tacit communities, but if we want to influence policymakers, we need to open the dialogue and build awareness of a field of scholarship developed over many years versus a group of individuals with our own contacts, Professor Alan Irwin, Copenhagen Business School. As editorials and numerous review articles over time have shown, scholars still consider much of science communication practice to be under a deficit model paradigm, providing information for a more or less uninformed or ignorant audience. 8.3 Better linking of science communication research with practice. Experts had three suggestions. A. Publications. One-third of the experts thought summarizing relevant research papers in a simpler language and contextualizing in practice would be useful. These could be attached to publications or abstracts and provided online, or distributed and promoted through social media. One expert suggested a separate publication. Practitioners are not really reading journals, so there is a room for an applied magazine where articles are published in a style that appeals to non-academics. Dr. Susanna Priest, editor of SCX. The editor of PUS, Massimino Bucchi, said, "The PUS blog and social media is working quite well. It takes news and comments from practitioners, and can include e-views of books or cinema festivals. Exploiting social media makes it more available to people outside academia, and we are receiving positive feedback. An even more significant challenge, however, would be to transfer not only results from individual studies, but rather integrate different results in systematic reviews explicitly targeted at certain practitioner communities. Such meta-analyses are expected to address concrete challenges apparent in science communication practice and comparatively assess the quality of studies for this particular topic, challenge. B. Interactions. About a quarter of the experts believed researchers and practitioners would benefit from regular conversations, either at occasions such as PCSD network conferences, or even at specific international forums of best practice. PCSD is great as it gets people to drop their defenses and usual barriers, Professor Alan Irwin, Copenhagen Business School. Another expert recalled the structure of the 2004 Barcelona PCSD conference. For every paper there was someone from the other side commenting, a practitioner commenting on a research paper and vice versa. "We need more of this feedback," Toss Gascoigne, Public Communication of Science and Technology Network, PCSD. On a national level, such conferences for both practitioners and scholars are rare, such as Science in Public in the UK, or conferences by the Latin American Science Communication Association REDPOP. The annual German Science Communication Forum Forum Wissenschafts Communication increasingly started to include single research contributions in the past few years, mostly by international scholars. Yet it would be impudent to say that FWK is already a conference to matchmake scholarship and practice. For recommendations of how to develop this potential further, please see below. C. Involving practitioners. One quarter of the experts explicitly recommended to find out what information practitioners want or need to inform their practice, and that getting practitioners directly involved in the research would help bridge the divide. "Design research and communication together so we have a professional learning community," Dr. Martin van der Sanden, 2 Delft. "We have plenty of contributors willing to talk the talk. We need academics and practitioners willing to walk the walk. The engagement needs to start upstream and continue throughout the process," Professor Rick Holloman, Open University UK. D. Other suggestions. Individual experts had other suggestions. Use existing bloggers or commentators to explain the research. Incorporate research outcomes into science communication training courses and degree programs. Learn from other communities, such as education research and teaching, with their long history of linking research with practice. Explore how citizen science initiatives are dissolving the boundary between research and practice. Citizen science is one of the areas where the boundaries of science communication research and practice are getting more diffuse and dissolving because people in that world are trying to ask questions about motivation, recruitment and outcomes to improve their practice. Professor Bruce Lewinstein, Cornell University. Produce an online science communication module or MOOC dedicated to applying research results and better understanding the evidence base. Use case studies to demonstrate the benefits of linking science communication research with practice.